Thank you. So my lecture will present some results about the structure of sets, multidimensional sets, having a small doubling property. We can describe this field of additive and combinatorial number theory as we can distinguish two main lines of research. A direct problem deals with the particular sets, and we determine the structure and properties of the sum sets, and these are the well-known problems of classical number theory: Waring problem, Goldbach conjecture. An inverse problem is a question in which we study the properties of the set, a general set, if we know, we assume that we know some characteristic of the sum set. The questions can be asked in a, let's say, in a abelian group, and we denote as usual the group of integers, or we can ask in the group of congruence classes modulo M or prime, or in a multi-dimensional space, or the lattice points, or the Euclidean space. Freiman proposed, we can say, an algorithm for asking question and trying to solve them. We can distinguish several steps. Let's say we fix one characteristic of the set, let's say the measure of the doubling or the cardinality of the sum set. And we asked which is the extremal value of this characteristic. In the first step, number three, we ask the same question, but the characteristic is now equal to the extremal value plus some constant. And we continue like this, taking larger and larger neighborhoods of the characteristic. In this talk, I will address these questions for the characteristic measure of doubling of the sum set K plus K. Let us define sigma, the how many times the doubling K plus K is larger than the K. And we are interested in determining the exact structure of a set if the constant is small. We should remark at this point that if this constant is arbitrary, but not very small, Freiman's main result from 1966 gives us a qualitative structure result that says that under these assumptions, the set K is a multidimensional arithmetic progression. For proofs, there are several variants: the original proof of Freiman, then Bilou, Ruja with another proof, which can be found in the textbook of Nathanson, and the recent monography of Tao and Wu. So we'll examine first interesting case, the two-dimensional lattice, z to the power 2. The basic result here, let's say the lower bound, was obtained. It's very simple to obtain it, but was remarked for the first time by Freiman in 66. And we can say that the doubling here, the doubling constant is 4 minus epsilon. More precise, if the set is split in S lines, it lies on exactly S lines, then we have this low bound for the doubling. You see the coefficient is here 4 minus quantity that tends to 0 as S tends to infinity. The first case, let's take S it's equal to 2. Freiman's result, 3k minus 4 theorem, gives the structure of K if the doubling is less than 3k minus 3. Actually, the set is not two-dimensional, it's linear. So step 2 is solved. A natural question would be to ask what is the structure of K plus K if the doubling constant is less than 4 minus epsilon, this quantity that tends to 0. If we denote this parameter by 2 over S plus 1, of course, Freiman result in dimension n asserts that let's say, that if this inequality is true, then the set K lies on a finite number of lines. Finite means that it depends only on S, not on cardinality of K. But we are interested here in precise results, not qualitative results. And actually for first case, when S is equal to 2, we can assert this result. If the doubling constant is 10 over 3, then the K lies on exactly two lines. And moreover, this is a quality or exact result. The set can be included into parallel arithmetic progression having 2k minus 2k plus 3 turns. This means that we can cover the set by two arithmetic progressions, and the number of holes is bounded, and the bound is, which is written on the last line, is exact. It cannot be improved. We can ask the same question for not only S equal to 2, but for any constant S. And this result from 98 says exactly what the previous result asserts, that if the doubling constant is 4 minus epsilon, we can cover the set by S parallel lines. It's very simple if where it comes this result. If we take a set that lies the integer points in a rectangle, and we have here 0, 1, 2 until x minus 1, and here 0, 1, 2 until s, this is the set k, then 2k is obvious, also a rectangle lying between 0 and 2s, and 0 until 2x minus 2. And this example has the doubling coefficient, or actually the cardinality of k plus k is equal to 4 minus 2 over s plus 1 times k minus 2s minus 1. So this upper bound cannot be improved. Nevertheless, this is only a first result. And it was extended very recently by Grinkiewicz and Serra, which mainly obtained a similar result for two distinct sets, A and B. You remark here, if we replace A is equal to B, we obtain exactly the previous result. Nevertheless, here the, let's say, the constant here depends on the power s to the power 3. In Serra result and Grinkiewicz result, the constant is exact. They obtained an exact bound depending on the power 2 of s. The next step would be here to obtain an estimate for a rectangle or a parallelogram that covers the set K. We are interested to obtain an exact result also here. Nevertheless, we obtained only a reasonable constant. Let's say if we take P, rectangle or parallelogram that cover the set K, the number of points in this parallelogram, it has the coefficient 24 there. It seems a large coefficient, but nevertheless, if we compare to the Friedmann results, it's, I guess, reasonable to obtain this kind of constant. And I believe that the best result is formulated here in this conjecture, and it was proved only for the case of two lines and the case of sets lying on three lines. It is open for s bigger than 4. Another question, if we want to stay on the plane, was formulated in 66 by Friedmann. Let's suppose that the set is in a general position. What I mean by this, that the set doesn't contain any three collinear points. And Friedmann asked, what is the cardinality of A plus A? The only known bound asserts that the sum set, also the difference set, is no difference in the proof, is bigger than n times log n to a positive exponent delta. And delta can be taken here 1 over 8. What is interesting here that in this question we use methods of additive combinatorics, namely there is a connection between these planar sets in general position and sets of integers of order t. What I mean by this, definition is actually a generalization of sets without non-tree terms in arithmetic progression. We say that a set is non-averaging of order t if this equation have no solution, non-trivial solution. And let us define ST of n, the maximal cardinality of such kind of sets. It is clear that this function is less than S1 of n for every t, and S1 of n is simply the Roth bound for a set containing no three-term arithmetic progression. And we can use Bourguin bound for this arithmetic function. And what is the what I can say? We can formulate a problem. If we obtain a better estimate than the previous one, let's say without using the result for integers, we can improve and we can obtain a new result about the original question formulated for planar sets. So this is a question I cannot, I don't know if it can be done in order to improve the previous result. Nevertheless, if we ask for lower bounds, it can be proved that a lower bound with exponent bigger than 1 cannot hold. And the proof used results well known from additive combinatorics, let's say Freiman definition of isomorphism and Baron methods. A recent improvement was obtained by Sanders. He obtained a new result which shows that the doubling coefficients can have the exponent 1 over 3 instead 1 over 8. Let's go now from dimension 2 to dimension general dimension D. In general dimension D, we can say that the first connection between geometry, linear geometry, and additive properties was obtained in 66. And the result is, if we assume that the set is has affine dimension D, then the lower bound is written here, has doubling coefficient D plus 1. This bound is tight. We can take D parallel arithmetic progression, and we have here equality. This is, if we remember the algorithm proposed in the beginning, this is step 2. We obtain the best possible lower bound. Let's try to answer next step. What happens for if the set A, the doubling of the set A is equal to D plus 1? And this is a result obtained in 98. Accepting the case when the cardinality is small, actually is equal to D plus 4, then the only possible examples which attain equality are D parallel arithmetic progressions with the same common difference. We also obtained the structure in the exceptional case when D is equal to 4. The structure can be described very easily. Let's say in dimension 3, we take this set with 7 points. 6 on a plane, and let's say E0, E1, E2, and here the middle point. And this kind of phenomenon appears in each dimension and has the equality. Nevertheless, we are interested in the general case, so if we take out these examples, the only possibility is that the set A is a union of the arithmetic progressions. This is the easiest question, and is similar to, we can say, like, with the Vasper theorem. Further developments, if we see here, Freiman result is about the doubling of A plus A. Ruja obtained in 1994 a generalization of Freiman results for different sets. Recently, Gardner and Gronke obtained inequality similar to an equality of Brun-Minkowski in convex geometry. And in a paper from 2006, there is a nice result of Green and Tao, which in a way generalize the previous result. This result, we say, what it means that is the set has a fine dimension D. It means that it contains a simplex of dimension D. And Green and Tao proved that, proves that instead of simplex of dimension D, if the set contains a D-dimensional parallelopiped, then the doubling coefficient is already exponential 2 to the power D over 2. If we already solved the simplest question, let's go to step 4. What it means? We allow for the doubling coefficient sigma to be greater than D plus 1. And a natural question, what is the exact, again I'm stressing that we are interested in the exact structure of sets, if the doubling coefficient is larger than D plus 1. What we expect that instead of D arithmetic progression, we want to obtain now a result that describes the structure of K using short arithmetic progression. What I mean by this? Let's take the dimension 3. And in dimension 3, we can obtain this kind of result. If the doubling coefficient is 13 over 3, then the set lies on exactly 3 parallel lines. And if it lies on these 3 parallel lines and the doubling coefficient is 5, then the number of holes is bounded. Or equivalently, the volume of this convex set is bounded by this quantity, doubling of k minus 3k plus 6. These results are best possible. What I mean by this is that we cannot increase the upper bounds in the first two inequalities or the increase or decrease the bound for the volume of the set. This is a three-dimensional case, and very recently we obtained a generalization for the dimension D. The result says the same thing. If the doubling coefficient is a little bit larger than the minimal possible value D plus 1, then the set can be included in D parallel lines. And not only this, the structure is of D short parallel arithmetic progression. What I mean by short, that the volume, the number of terms of this arithmetic progression is maximal possible value is written on the last line, 2k minus dk plus constant depending on d. Of course, next question in the spirit of the algorithm, we should increase this doubling coefficient. And in a joint work with Freiman, we are able to describe the structure if we go to the up to doubling coefficient D plus, a little bit less than D plus 2. If this structure you see is linear, the set is included in a finite number of lines. If we go for questions with Dublin coefficient larger, we expect the number of planes is bounded, and is a there are a lot of questions to be asked and solved in this field. Okay.